Now that we're all here, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'm going to ask Sarah if you can call the roll, please.
All right, so 7:04. Chris.
Here.
Ron.
Here.
Dan.
Here.
Debbie.
Here.
Jim.
Here.
Lydia.
I'm here.
And Russ.
Here. The Sarah, do we have anybody requesting to make public comment?
We do not.
Okay. The next item would be the approval of the meeting minutes for our last meeting on January 13th, 2021. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'd motion to approve the minutes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Do we have any discussion on them or questions or clarifications or modifications, I guess I should say. No, if not, then let's move. I'll call the roll, please, to approve the minutes, please.
Okay. Chris.
Approve, sorry.
Thank you. Ron?
Approve.
Dan?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Jim?
Approve.
Lydia?
Yes, approve.
And Russ?
Yes, approve. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is an update on the dementia-friendly River Forest group. Lydia, if you can.
We met, last Monday in January. Whatever that was, a week ago or so, and agreed to until COVID lessens and we're actually have the ability to go out and be in the world, we're going to table our meetings. We're going to still build out the website, and Michelle Thomas and a few of us on the behind the scenes, we're going to continue to work on our training videos and just trust that when we can go all safely be in the world again and convene, and restaurants and businesses and organizations are again feeling in a place where they're thriving and not just surviving, that they'll be ready to take on new and promising initiatives. So the materials will still be available, and we will resume, you know, once it's safe to gather again and to go out and do the trainings. And that's a similar action plan and model that Oak Park is engaging in as well.
Okay. Okay, terrific. Does anybody have any questions for Lydia?
I do.
Sure.
I took the website's great. It's really simple and straightforward, and I learned things. And I was wondering, because I work at the Olive and Well, mm-hmm. And they should be a dementia-friendly store. Should they go through Oak Park, or could they be River Forest, or how does that work?
They're technically in Oak Park, right? Yeah. So from my limited experience working with the Oak Park Action Team, they're very seemingly, they want Oak Park businesses that have jurisdiction in Oak Park to go through their training. I would send them to Oak Park. But I would imagine at some point, and Chris, you raise a great question, I wonder, because the trainings are so similar, if there is a, you know, almost like a, when, if we can work with Oak Park in the future, if people have done the training on whatever site, then they should be able to get the designation, just so their sticker says Oak Park, I think is what people are most concerned about. I do think that the website that we put together, the training materials are a bit more accessible and user friendly from what I can tell, but maybe I'm biased.
Thank you.
Nothing wrong with promoting the work that you do, not a problem. And Lydia, I think, I know you mentioned this before, but can you, do you have the link or whatever on the website that you can refer, put in maybe in the chat room, if that's okay?
I will send it to Sarah and have
perfect
her chat.
Perfect. That way we can also make it part of the record and promote it too. So terrific.
If I may, Lydia, do you know when you guys are ready to,
you know, I would say we're ready now. I mean, we still have some things that we want to add to it, but I think that there's so much there. I mean, Chris, would you agree that it's put together enough that it's useful. And I think that the creative endeavors, the art looking and the music videos in there in English and Spanish, like all that's there for caregivers. So I'm fine with us going ahead and sending it out to residents as a resource. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a caveat on there that, you know, like everything else, all amazing things are works in progress. And we'll just put something on there saying that, you know, if people do want the training and they're interested in it, it's there, it's accessible. If they want us to train in person when it's safe, we're happy to do that too.
Okay. So, I mean, I can put it on the village page in the age-friendly section.
Great. And I just sent you the link.
Terrific. And also, Sarah, can you also forward the link over to be put in our village newsletter? So when it goes out, we can always do that as well. Terrific. Thank you. Okay. Updates on my part. The Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus did not meet since our last meeting. However, actually, Lydia and I participated in a more regional, it's being called the Neighborhood Age-Friendly Collaborative. And it is an attempt for a regional collaborative that's really to be comprised so far. It involves the Austin Council for the Austin community. It also includes Forest Park, Oak Park. And when I say Oak Park, it means the village as well as the township. Maywood, the village of Maywood, and River Forest, and that again includes the village and the township. The idea is to create initiatives within our area that we can focus on, particularly for within the villages that we have, trying to see what we're doing, not trying to overlap. In terms of over, we're really actually trying to see what we can work together without actually stepping on everybody's toes so we can all maximize our resources. So it's more of a communication and collaborative, trying to see if we can work together on a number of issues. The mayors of all these villages who are participant, as well as any of the contacts relating to age-friendly initiatives for quote unquote, the townships and or villages relating to that. So it's good. Obviously, Lydia is a key resource as well. I'm glad she's going to be part of it too. I consider her, or we can consider her as part of River Forest as part of that. So again, more to come. We just had the introductory meeting this on February the 5th, last Friday. So it's good. I think it's another step towards working together on these initiatives. So the other thing I wanted to update, if you haven't already looked at it, but the Zoning Board of Appeals at the River Forest is going to meet tomorrow at 7:30. One of the items they're going to be talking about are possible proposed text amendments relating to the affordable housing plan. So they're going to start those discussions regarding any zoning issues. Again, it's the beginning discussions. So if you want to listen in on the meeting, if not, again, it starts tomorrow. It's on their website. Village, you'll see zoning board. And then you can hook up if you want to listen tomorrow. And if you unable to because of a conflict, don't worry. It's going to be recorded. So you can always go back and hear it afterwards. So again, I know I'm going to be listening to that. And I know we're going to be working on issues as well. One of the things that, now that I'm sort of backtracking a little bit here, but when the neighborhood collaborative, age-friendly collaborative, one of the things we talked about was they, meaning on the Austin Council, they did a survey regarding how a particular housing issue and senior citizen needs in their area. And that came up during our meeting. So I'm going to hook up with the two reps that were from the Austin Council to see what survey they used or they came up with and maybe talk about the process. It sounded like they were going out there door to door. And I'm not saying we have to do this. And basically we're now somewhat restricted with the COVID, but I'm sort of curious to see how they went about it. And so I can do more if they're willing to come to our next meeting and talk about it a little more, I'd be happy to invite them over and they can, you know, tell us how they did it and what experiences they had in trying to collect that information from their seniors, but in terms of what their needs. So I thought that'd be interesting to do as well. Also, of course, the Wabi Sabi Film Festival as a favorite of Mark, bless off, that's coming up. And I just want to share that. I think Sarah sent an email to everybody, and the Film Festival is coming for tomorrow at 10 a.m. I think it's like 2 to 3 hours, but part of it is watching the movie and then the other part is a discussion thereafter. You do have to register, it's free, but there's still time to do it. And I'm sure if you do it by actually even this Friday morning, you probably will be able to get in. So other than that, that's all the updates I have, unless anybody has any questions.
Rez, the person from the Austin group.
Yes.
If you can get them on our next call.
Sure.
I think I'd be really interested in their methodology.
Okay.
Because that's one of my questions for later in our discussion.
Okay, terrific.
How are we gonna do this survey?
Okay. Okay, good. I will ask them to join. Okay, and I will follow up with everybody, but I will invite them. I'm glad to hear we're interested. Okay. All right. All right, good. So are there any other comments or questions before we move on? If not, we're going to get to actually the old business, which is, or maybe part of the new business, which is a survey. Thank you all for doing your piece, putting this together. We now have a huge document that we can look at least start to review and et cetera. And that's where I want to be able to talk now about how, you know, what people's thoughts are, how we're going to somehow review it. And by the way, thank you, Dan. I know you also did a nice job putting in an Excel spreadsheet for us.
Yeah, that was Sarah put in the spreadsheet.
Oh, my God, it was Sarah. I am so sorry, Sarah. I thought here I am giving credit to Dan the credit. Okay. Okay. Then, thank you. Well,
Dan spruced it up.
Okay, he spruced it up. Okay, I came from you. Well, I got it when I saw it from you, Dan. I thought it was your work. I apologize. Well, collective work, maybe between you and Sarah. Then, so that I thought was a great help. I do. I have maybe comments on the part that I did, which was on the health services and the community support. I was not as gifted as Dan when he put the actual boxes to check off. I just put the options of the items that needed to be put together and the rating. So I didn't know if that was a little confusing for everybody in doing that. So I noticed when some of you referred to the Hanover and the question relating to that, it looked like it was a statement, but I don't know if that was a question or not. And so obviously there's some fine tuning that we need to do and probably maybe start either combining and or looking for what's duplicative, and we can probably do away with some of them. Oh, we have a new member. Thanks, Chris. So then we look at that, and I don't know if people have thoughts on how to approach that, but now we have an overall document that we can at least look at, and I'm curious to see what people's reactions were when they saw the document, or what approaches do you think in trying to fine tune this document? Sure.
Rez?
Yes.
So it looks like we ended up with around over 190 questions. It was hard for me to tell from counting the Excel lines, but I think it was over 190, which seemed excessive to me. I went through and tried to answer each one, at least mentally, and it took me 47 minutes.
Okay.
I'm not sure we're going to get people to do that online. I'm not sure how we do that in person, if we can ever do that. There were 33 questions about housing. So almost 1/6 of the resulting document was about housing. And I thought there's already been a housing survey. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But the number of questions in my mind really has to come down, because personally, if I got a survey with 190 questions in the email, I would delete it.
Dan?
I think, Ron, you're laboring under a misunderstanding. This is not intended to be the survey by any means whatsoever. We were collecting all the questions from the surveys that we had, and this has to be pared way down. A lot of these questions were the same in different surveys. A lot of them are not remotely relevant to River Forest. And I think there's very few questions that wouldn't have to be. Once we get it down to the usable number, which is somewhere between 40 and 50, I think.
Okay.
We have to tweak everything for River Forest and what we need. I think the big question we have really to help us pare this down is to figure out what do we want to learn in each of the tiers, which will help us pare it down to the questions that we will want to adapt and use in here. And I should share that there actually are some things that definitely were not covered in these, which we I think we may want to get covered.
Dan, when you make that statement, you're referring to even items that are outside of the part that you worked on, correct?
Well, primarily the part that I worked on, but in the others, all of it. We need to figure out in each tier, what do we want to learn? What would we need to know to write a plan that's going to be responsive to the needs of the seniors in River Forest and the near seniors?
Okay,
Dan, thank you. And I understand that. And that goes back to the point I made 2 months ago. What do we want to learn that the village can actually do something about?
Exactly.
Because if it's not an actionable item, why are we asking the question?
Chris?
Another thing that we ran into, because we were doing public spaces, is some of the things are park district. Some of the things are like library. So they're not necessarily village driven. They're shopping. Well, that's Oak Park as much as it is River Forest. The other big issue that I had was we need to settle on rating systems. And it's almost like if we could decide, are we doing very important, not important, whatever, or 1 to 10, and then we could each take our segments and narrow that down into combine all of the questions. My other thought is, why don't we just take like Hanover or Oxford and just go with that, or with, you know, make a few suggestions, few changes on it. Cause this is just, I fell asleep reading it. It was way too big.
Okay. Dan and Lydia, I wasn't sure if you raised your hand. Okay, Dan.
I don't think we can conceivably take any one of these and use it as our base.
I think
I'll be honest, they're not as good as what we need to do. There's a lot of questions in here that are items that were asking more than one question at a time. There were some that were very poorly worded. I'll be candid. Most surveys are not really well written or well organized. And with all due respect to the academics at Oxford, that one had some really great stuff in it, but it also had a ton of stuff that's totally irrelevant to us. We've got this great list that Sarah did a Herculean job of putting together. Let's not underestimate what she had to do. And I think that what we need to do again is decide what information do we want, and maybe within each tier, pare it down to which questions would get us that information. Writing surveys is painful. It's difficult. And, you know, that's one reason why, for example, the political surveys did such a bad job of predicting election results. They're asking the wrong questions. But they're asking the same questions because that's what they did in the past. And that's one reason why they don't do so well. So we got to realize we're going to have to spend a couple of meetings pairing this down. We got to decide what we want to know, learn in each tier, and then which questions address those, and then narrow it down.
Okay.
My fear is that it's going to be too painful and too long. And for what we're doing, we need to have a Stanford University survey, or could we have a usable survey that gets us the information that we want? So I just think that maybe there's a happy medium that we start with one and we just look at that, because I couldn't get over how much stuff we had. But I've said my.
Okay. And can I put Lydia and Jim on the spot here? Since you do have been involved with a lot of research relating to this area, what's your suggestion on how we should approach this?
I agree with Dan in that survey design and creation is an art and a skill. And most people who do it for a living or who are, you know, researchers have had training in it. It's been a while since I've taken survey design. I've had some training. I think that, and I'm happy to take a stab at the daunting piece of it. But I do think we can do almost a qualitative thematic coding of the questions that are in that Excel spreadsheet and get an idea for the themes, and then, you know, look at ones that are written well and maybe reword. We're gonna have to figure out some of them are ranked, some of them the scoring's funny. Right. Like, we want it all to be consistent for people. I think we have a good ingredient list. We're going to have to spice it up and add some of our own flavor. I do think that it's going to need to be customized because we are a unique space and a unique village with unique needs. And for us, we're already in some ways age friendly, even though we don't say that really. I think it can be done. I think it's just a matter, you know, someone's going to have to kind of sort through and maybe pick out the best of the best of the questions and then do some rewording and reworking. I do think there are people maybe that could help us do that. I mean, I know that DeAndre, right? Rez, I think.
Yes, correct. Austin. Correct.
I'm blanking on his last name. That call correct. Was so painful for me because I was listening and I couldn't unmute myself because I was in the car and it was really hard to not say anything. Was quite the opportunity for me to practice listening. It'd be interesting to see. He sounds like he's got training in survey development and dissemination and analysis and reporting. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think we just do some of the hard work of customizing this for our needs. Okay. But I think it's nice to be able to look comparatively at all the questions and the surveys that we at some point thought were good enough to consider.
Okay. And on that point, although thank you, you volunteered, but I also don't want to have all the load on you. Is there anything that we,
and I'll include myself as the uneducated person here that can work on part of it. I mean, I can probably figure out questions that are pretty similar and then try to put some of those together and try to eliminate or condense some of these questions. But and the reason I'm saying that is obviously with the areas I worked on, maybe I can do that in comparison to some of the others. Like, for example, I did take some of the demographics. I think I also added as part of my list to, because that was one thing I think we all were going to share. Dan put some of those as well. I'm not sure if anybody else took a shot at that, but probably those we can probably condense to something that, whether maybe the next step we'll try to condense them. And then still after we look at that, we may say, no, we don't need this one. We don't need that one, but at least trying to avoid a lot of the duplication, if that's good.
I mean, maybe that's one strategy, that because now we've at least coded basically right. our own topical areas, we're familiar with the questions. I mean, I think intuitively we know when we ask, read it out loud, if it sure. makes sense and it's easy to answer. Like some of the questions are double barreled. I'm like, yeah. I don't know who's, is it ARP? I don't know. Somebody's asleep at the wheel in their survey design, but I think we all can read the question, and if it doesn't compute, and it we have to read it twice, then it's obviously sure. a good question.
Right, that's true, and you're right, and I agree with the earlier comment about if it's possible reducing or having one rating system that's a little more consistent.
Yeah, because you don't want people to have to transpose. Sure. Okay, wait, one was most ideal and now five is most ideal. Like that's too confusing. So it all needs to be like either reverse coded or, and I can do some of that stuff. Oh, okay. Do you have any? I just took over and started talking about research when Rez asked the both of us.
No, that's fine. Dan, go ahead.
Every you know, all the questions don't have to be the same format. Some could be the 1 to 5 scales. Some could be choosing something from a list. One thing I hope we will avoid are making these huge grids, as has been done the park district and township surveys, which, I mean, I just throw the damn things away. They were too complex. And I like doing surveys. But the bottom line is, first, we got to decide, I mean, if we want to be systematic about this, we should, you know, look at each tier and the questions we have for those tiers and decide, what do we want to learn? What information do we want to get from that tier? And then we can dole it out. I mean, the people who put the questions together maybe could go back and reduce the questions to look at to those that will give us the information that we want to get.
Okay.
And then we could pare it down further to customize questions that will extract that information from our universe, our sample.
Okay. So Dan, go ahead.
I also like, you know, Jim and I were talking about this earlier, not because I'm a qualitative researcher, it's not lost on me that we're not going to get rich narrative, but I do think, I mean, we make the assumption that being an age-friendly community is important and people get it and that's what they want, right? And so I do think it would be interesting to have a question or two open-ended, you know, what in your mind, what is an age-friendly community? And is it important to you? I mean, we've assumed that this is important to everybody. And so I think it would be interesting to hear from older adults in our communities, their perspectives about what age-friendly is and if it matters in a concrete way to them.
Lydia, I really like that thought, because you're right. We've assumed it's important. Maybe it isn't so important. For instance, the questions that I had about emergency preparedness and public safety didn't appear in any of the surveys we had. So I think I could immediately say, we just take those off because nobody cared. And then we haven't heard from Jim yet about survey methodology.
Well, naturally, I have a lot to say, but there have been so many people talking, and then Dr. Manning steals the show on me every time. I'm at a loss.
I want to hear from you.
Well, thank you, Ron, and thank you, Lydia, and thank you, Dan, and Sarah, and everyone. That's you know, part of our collective. I think here's where I sit. This is the toughest part of this entire process, is going to be hammering out this survey. Okay, this is the heavy lifting. This is the momentous task at hand. We all came to this place from a different place with the different skill sets and knowledge. So some of what we've had to do in a way is waste a little bit of all of our time to get everybody kind of up to the same place. What is age friendly? What does it mean through the World Health Organization? What does it mean to AARP? What does it mean to River Forest? What's been done? Where are we at? Looking at these surveys, what do they look like? How are they constructed? I'll go right back to where we were before, and maybe this is a, we can come up with a deliberate list of the to-dos to move the project forward, which is to say, if each of us in our own understanding, because this is where I get with Lydia and a lot of discussions about, well, do people really care about aging? Is there such negativity place that we're making assumptions that are incorrect? All that is overarching my head. I thought in the profession that I'm in that everybody loved life insurance, that it was top of mind, that people talked about it at breakfast, only to find after 25 years in the business that is not the case at all.
That's not true. That's what we talk about at lunch every day.
Okay, well, I'm coming lunch with you. So anyway, this is, you know, it's all about perspective and view. And so if each one of us kind of in a very remedial way could think about each of the domains and ask, what would River Forest want to get from this? And some are going to be more, we're probably going to want to know more about, you know, transportation and housing than we're going to want to know about social inclusion and respect or employment opportunities. Okay. Employment, civic engagement, that would probably be, you know, on the bottom of the list. And it's actually employment and civic engagement might be something that we could actually, you know, do something about in some way. So I think if we could develop this list, if I sat down and I thought about social participation, what would I hope to gain from it from River Forest? It might be as concise as three questions. And I think, or so if each one of us could come up with maybe a list of bullet points, two or three or five even, pertaining to each domain.
Okay.
And then we that's the list that we put together. And we see where the similarity is so that we're, if now we're all on the same page. We're all thinking that housing has to address a consumer's desire, B, some respect to taxes, C, you know, on down the line. So, you know, I really think when I looked at the questions and I called Lydia earlier today to talk with her about how to get at some of this, we stopped dead in our tracks when I said, now that we see all this, what do we really want to know? And I think if we could just articulate in very short form, you know, that we're going to find the striking similarities, and then boom, we can draw our questions from the pool, properly write them, recraft them, assemble them the right way.
Okay.
You know, I think no matter what, I think it's good that they follow the format that a lot of these surveys did, where they go by domain. Okay. So when you're answering questions about housing, you're not going to then answer, you know, a demographic question. I know that's remedial, but to keep them in the sections where people's train of thought is, okay, now I'm thinking about whether I want a bus or I need a private taxi or, you know, that type of thing, to keep them engaged.
Okay.
So that's my thought, is it's kind of like, okay, now we're all right where we need to be. We need to figure out as a group collectively, what's important, what do we want from it? What questions do we have to answer? And what are simply, like Ron said, nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be elements in all the domains where no one, either it's way above them, never thought about it, you know, so that's where I'm at.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, I think you've hit it on the nail on the head. And so for example, with housing, I would think the basic things we want to know is, can people afford their current housing? Is the current housing the type of house that they want to live in? And how do they pay for it? Are they paying for it out of savings, out of current income? That's something none of these surveys bothered to ask, and I think it's critical to know. and how much income they have. All of which, all those last questions obviously would go at the very end of the survey. If they, what sort of housing they want to move to at some point. Yeah. It's, you know, we got about four or five things we want to extract, which will take more than four or five questions, but it's narrowly focused. You know, we're not going to get into the extreme detail of some of these surveys asking about what kind of door handles do you want.
Right, right.
Although the village, I'm sure, could do something about that. Because the staff doesn't have enough to do, heck.
Yeah.
You have tax breaks for all the lever door handles installed.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Trust me, I'm beginning to appreciate levered door handles.
So let me ask you this. It looks like we're leaning, and I'm, by the way, does anybody else have any other thoughts or comments? I don't want to cut anybody off, and I welcome everybody's ideas. Go ahead, Chris.
Jim, as you were talking and thinking, and I like the idea very much of what are just some key things that we want to learn. Do we need input from some 80-year-olds? Do we need, would that help us in understanding what we need to learn? Or people who, 85-year-olds, just because we're not? Just testing it out.
There is obviously there's some value. If you wanted to look that way, then we'd have to look at probably two or three different age bands. And because a 60-year-old is in a very different place than the 85-year-old in terms of what they want, what they're looking for. And I think to some degree, then what we're starting to do then is narrow the questions maybe too much for a specific group or category. I don't know if Lydia would concur, but you know, I think that takes the survey to like a whole different level, and then would require some more rigorous analysis.
I do think though there is something, and you know, we're in the middle of COVID and this might be challenging, but I do think there would be, and I don't see this in any of the other survey data, right, that we've looked at, but I do think there is something really compelling about doing mixed methods and doing the survey, having that be a generalizable sample. But then if there's time and space and it's safe to do, I don't know, 10 or 15 individual interviews and maybe one focus group, just to have qualitative data to complement our findings. And maybe those people are picked randomly from the survey, you know, from the quantitative survey pool.
Lydia, on that point, actually, I'm sorry, Dan, you had your hand raised too, so.
Oh, I was just gonna suggest that at some point focus groups might be useful, but very difficult to do under the circumstances. Yeah. And you know, before the survey gets finalized, it is extraordinarily prudent to do two test runs with a sample of maybe 10 people that you get a hold of, not the people on the committee,
right?
But you know, 10 citizens we can get a hold of. I with our Naperville survey that proved extraordinarily helpful. We went through two test runs with employees in Naperville, and it led to quite a few changes.
On that point, Dan, what I was thinking of now with what you said is that I know maybe we can eventually tap into, like, for example, I'm thinking the library who already has things going on for seniors, their coffees or whatever. Maybe we can sort of tap into that as whether it's to get a sample of individuals that we can run the survey, or to start developing some forums that we can develop. And the township might be another avenue to reach, because I'm thinking even the township may have even names. They won't be able to give it to us directly, but the township said, for example, Dan, if you say we would like 10 people, I think we can ask the township to get 10 people for us.
That's equally be helpful, I think, yeah, in putting us in connection with people. That's
yes. And I think, yeah, the township for sure has that information and data that they can work with us on that. So Go ahead.
Along with that line, I was wondering if they can give us maybe some idea how computer savvy they think seniors are in River Forest.
Oh,
because
okay.
If there's a great deal of confidence that seniors in River Forest, including people in their 80s, are consumers savvy enough, computer savvy enough to use a computer to do the survey, we could do a random sample and have them respond on the computer, on their computers, which if we do it right, we can actually have a lot of the cross-referencing done, cross-hatching done. If we don't feel real confident, then really got to do a random sample mail survey.
Right.
And keeping in mind with all this, at some point, you're going to have to go to the village board and get us some budget.
Sure. Don't worry, Dan. Don't get me nervous. I just don't want to do it before my election. You know what I mean? Because they might not support me. No, I'm teasing. No, I'm joking about that. No, I thought about that too. But the reason I haven't gone there yet is
we
need to be a little more defined and what we're doing and then how where we're at. So that when I ask for the money there, you know, it's going to be a nice presentation that this is where we have, this is our survey, for example, this is what we're going to need. These are estimates of services or whatever, wherever direction we're going to, but we're not there yet, but we will be.
Yeah.
And eventually, yes, that will be the approach I'm thinking of as well.
And we could have hard copies, right? Like at the village, if people wanted to come to the village and fill it out and submit it, or maybe even partner with the library and have Megan have a computer and have somebody coaching there if need be.
Again, and if we're doing a random sample, we have to use a strict sample.
Okay.
That's the only way we get reliable results.
Can we incentivize response rates by offering like the first, I don't know, 5 people to return their survey? You can choose between 1 year free parking, like a parking sticker, or like a complimentary pass to the park district or something.
Interesting. Dan, that's a question I don't know. Yeah. Is there any ethical issues with that? No? Okay.
You don't need to do that. I mean,
with the Naperville survey,
we got a 65% response rate without giving any incentives.
Okay.
People will answer these. They'll be happy to have someone asking them.
All right. Okay.
So talking about computer savvy people over 80, I got my first COVID dose on Monday at a Jewel at the Brickyard Shopping Center. Because I was online with 3 different websites and that was the first thing I could get.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I'm 68 and I was there with 2 other people, both in their late 80s with their son and daughter who had made their appointments for them. The patients themselves had no idea how to do this. And that's fine with me. So computer savvy and computer fear really go hand in hand because both of these said, I don't want people to steal my bank money.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm not gonna fix that or change that. But if we had to do handwritten or paper surveys, I'd be more than willing to volunteer to drop them off and pick them up. Piece of cake for me. But I think the computer savvy thing goes to a whole different level when you're talking about health access or any kind of information access. And maybe that's a section that wasn't in any of our questions.
I gotta agree with you, Ron. People in their 70s, good chance they'll be computer savvy. You get up into the 80s, it plummets tremendously. And paper surveys are much easier to do.
Yeah.
People and they're more. I think they're more comfortable with it. Except if you're really young, you're more comfortable online.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, how'd your shot go? Okay.
I had a sore arm for about a day, and that's it so far.
Hey, Chris, did you have your second shot?
Next Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had our first shots, and it was Moderna. It was very sore arm and fatigue for 2 days after that. Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is waking up the third morning, it was like I had a shot of adrenaline.
So what I told the pharmacist after I was done, I said, thanks for my shot of hope.
Hey, it's amazing you were able to get done at a Juul. That's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, just so you'll enjoy the good laugh, we actually had done at the Dr. Jorge Prieto Health Center at 2424 South Ashland. The reason we chose it was it had not just the Moderna shot, but we knew him and we knew his daughters well and been to his house. And we've never had the opportunity to go someplace that was named after someone we knew. So, but the amazing thing, if you want a private place that's very comfortable, they only do two at a time. Every 15 minutes, you're inside. You don't have to wait outside. The only hassle is there's no off-street parking. You got to park on the street. Oh. If you want a place that's really comfortable to do it, that's a good place to do it. That's the Moderna vaccine.
Okay.
All right. So what are our next steps, Ryan? Okay.
So here's what I understand. And it appears, and unless people object to this, but it sounds like the next step would be each of us going through all of the tiers and then asking what is it that we think we want to learn from each of those tiers. And then I'm gonna suggest then, just like we did when we were putting the questions together, I'm suggesting, can we get our list of what we want and send it to Sarah, and then she can compile them per tier, and then we can look at it. Does that make sense? Okay,
it does.
Can we add
if we use the spreadsheet that Dan kind of dressed up after Sarah did all the hard work?
Okay.
If we look at those questions, and if we put an X in the left-hand column, and which means we don't want this one.
Okay.
Sarah, would that work?
The way that I would maybe do that is if I would need
I meant the row.
How about a Google document?
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is it could be like a column for everybody's name, and then you can only put the X in your column, because then I'll be able to filter it down and I can see how many people said that they don't want this question.
Oh, okay. So you would add columns on the left, and each row we could X out or not.
Before we did that, could I suggest that we come up with this list of the key points that we want to know? Maybe we could put a deadline on that for 1 week. Sarah could get it back to us within a week, and then we could each take from that the areas that we did in the last round.
Okay.
and address the questions so that we can get, you know, a little bit tighter in our own sections.
Okay.
If there's some way, you know, Lydia, isn't a Google Doc something real time that all changes would be tracked in? You know, can we all work in the same document?
We could in theory, but I think that there are prohibitive rules, right, about how that constitutes like too many of us working together in this group, even though it's a virtual group, I think, right? For bylaws.
Yeah.
That goes against the open meetings.
Correct, open meetings.
Okay. All right. So then we couldn't do it that way. But maybe, you know, maybe rather than looking at 190 questions and going through that X process, by that point we're down to 120. You know what I mean? That when you go, because I look at the sections that were appropriate to me, and I know right away, as soon as I start to apply those, you know, those principles to this, what are we looking for as it applies to River Forest? Right away, I can strike.
Okay. You
know, the questions that aren't as important, because it's an unwieldy document now. You know what I mean? It's big. Right. You know.
And so we're all consistent then. We're going to put each of us will take for each of the tiers, what we think we want to know for each of those tiers. That we will submit to Sarah. Sarah will put the document together comprehensive. And then with that, she'll distribute it to each of us. We will each take our respective tiers that we were assigned before and then start eliminating, right? Eliminating right. the questions we think yeah. they're not appropriate.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Right. Okay. Does that sound good mm-hmm. for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in terms of...
So are we going to pay Sarah double for doing this?
She's racking up the invoice already, Ron. She's like, I'm not done yet, it sounds like. So, you know, she's probably... Yeah. She's
the highest compensated member of this committee.
Yes. She's putting her own spreadsheet together. So that's fine. I know Jim threw out a week. Is that good enough? Or Sarah, we should be asking mm-hmm. you too. I mean, obviously a week would be okay, but if the committee, no, I'm seeing Dan saying no. Okay. Dan, what are your thoughts on?
At least give us at least 2 weekends.
Okay, 2 weekends, okay. 2 weekends and takes us to, all right, I need a calendar. Okay.
22nd.
It'll be Monday the 22nd. Can we get that, our what we want to learn list for each of the tiers to Sarah by the 22nd? And then Sarah, once you get that, and by the way, if people can turn it earlier than that, that's great, because then Sarah can start putting it together. And then knowing that the 22nd, she'll get the final ones. Then, assuming that's the case, our next meeting is scheduled for March the 10th. So if Sarah gets it on the 22nd, Sarah, let's assume the worst scenario, you get all of them by the 22nd. How much time do you think you would need to put that list together, assuming the worst, meaning you get them all by the 22nd.
I think at the latest, the 24th, that's not something that's gonna take very long to.
Okay, okay, good, okay. And if it's the 25th, that's fine, but at least the 24th. So then if you give it to us by the 24th, then we can then start looking at striking questions in our respective areas. We have that weekend to do it, the 28th or the 27th. And then we've been trying to send out the agenda by the 4th and the 5th. And the reason I say that is then maybe, can we get our strike list to Sarah by the 1st? That gives us the weekend of the 26th, 27th, 28th, does that make sense? We already have the question, so all you got to do is strike the ones that you don't think we would need, if that's possible. Does that sound doable, or I'm looking at everybody? Mm-hmm. Okay, Dan. Okay. All right, Dan. All right. And yeah, or what's your thinking, Dan? I'm not trying to put pressure on. I'm just trying to, I always try to back into something. So if our meeting's on the 10th, usually we try to send out the packet by the 5th, so people get time to look at everybody's responses in this case, or the questions. It would be the list of questions people are Xing out. That would be on the 5th. So I'm just trying to see if we give it back to Sarah so she can do that. Again, that Excel spreadsheet, but Xing out what people thought they should do in their respective areas. And if she gets on the 1st, maybe she can complete it by the 3rd. I don't know. I'm trying to see how much, and I'm looking, Dan, what do you think?
God only knows.
Okay.
We may be trying to do too much between the meetings. I don't know.
Okay.
We also have to keep in mind, and Sarah's got to be alert, there's a lot of questions that are repeated in different surveys that we used, and So you've got the challenge on top of everything else of keeping, not.
Okay.
People right, accept I, one version I'll of the question this. And reject the other, but they might mix them up and then what they reject, and Sarah's got to sort that through that. So I don't think we want to overburden Sarah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Well, here's a, okay. And Ron,
I'm willing to take on somebody else's section. Right now, I've got plenty of time. I'm between contracts. I can take on two or three people's other sections if they want. I'm more than happy to do that. We need to move this along. Yep.
Okay. Then let's do this. Let's do this. Okay, so everybody get their list of what we want to learn to Sarah by the 22nd of February. And then Sarah will send out the comprehensive list to everybody by the 24th. Everyone try to look at their respective areas and strike out questions and see if you can get it done to Sarah by the 1st, March the 1st. And if people are running into problems, conflicts, whatever, then at least Sarah can let us know where we're at on the 2nd or 3rd, or who she received comments from, what areas she received the strikeout, so we know what to address if we need to on some other areas, okay? And again, this is just to get something forward. And for example, if one or two of us, I'm just throwing it out, don't get a chance to do it by the 1st or the 3rd, then at least we have something to talk about on the 10th, because that's what we'll go out on the 5th. And if we need more time, we can talk about it then on the 10th as well, okay? We're just trying to keep this room. I'm not trying to exclude anybody, but I understand everybody's schedules as well. Chris.
Can we go back to my first question or comment? Okay. Do we consider only what the Village of River Forest can impact? Or do we talk about the River Forest area? Debbie and I are working on public places and community, something or others. And so there are a lot of questions like park district kinds of things. And so what's our parameters?
Okay, let's take that for an example. Let's take that. First of all, when you're asking the question, what do we want to learn? I think part of it is going to say, and if you don't think we're necessarily interested, and that's probably not the way to say it, but regarding transportation, for example, or we're limited in transportation or something, then maybe you may say, well, based on River Forest, we may not. I don't know. I'm trying to. We're working at this together. So, Chris, if you're saying, for example, I looked at transportation, and I don't think we're really gonna. There's not much we can do in that. So I'm not going to ask so many questions, or I don't think we need to ask so many questions on transportation. That's what I understood Jim saying, that we're going to be approaching each of the tiers is, what do we want to learn, but as it relates to River Forest? What do we want to learn for River Forest when we're asking these or looking at each of these tiers? So part of that will be your judgment in terms of what you think we're going to be asking. And again, we're going to be coming back to this collectively. So if three of us say, no, we ought to look at this on transportation, or we ought to look at this on this, I think we're going to have that discussion once we get the collective list from everybody. And we could talk about it even more at the next meeting once we get the list.
Russ, we assume that our survey results and our report is going to affect change? I think, Chris, that's what you're asking, right? Like how...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we can assume, right, that someone's right. going to be listening, decision makers, right. key policymakers, and that even right. though we may not be involved with Parks District, somebody who's listening to us can correct. Put pressure on whomever to make some of these changes.
And on that point, Lydia, I was going to get back to that too, but thank you for the transition. So, Chris, on the point of items that you think, for example, regarding Park District, I would not hesitate, if that's what we want in there, in terms of green, whatever, because we as the village, we're going to look at that. And if, for example, if people really say, hey, I really want more space, park, district space, so I can go sit in the park. I want more benches in the park so I can spend more time there, et cetera. I want to be able to have that information. I think that even though it's not within our control, but something we can report out, and I'd be happy to share to the respective other public entities. I'm assuming as well as if it relates to anything regarding township services, or if it relates to anything regarding our library services or school districts for that matter. I'd like to be able to report that out because that's still part of our community. And then we can work, I'm thinking at the village, we can work with our sister agencies. Hey, school district, this is what our seniors want. Let's try to see how we can make it happen. Same thing with the park district, same thing with, so I would not say that because it's not within the village's sole purview that we exclude it. I would not. At this point, we're trying to find out what everybody wants in the village and if we think it's important. Does that make sense?
What about Oak Park? Do we keep it, do we limit it to River Forest?
I think so, because we want to know what within the village our residents want. So yes, that doesn't mean that they probably will be related maybe with some of Oak Park, but I do think that that we ought to be focusing more on River Forest, unless people disagree, but I think that's what I would suggest. Go ahead, Dan. Oh, Dan, you're not muted, but
focus. I've got a button on my microphone.
Oh, okay.
That way you don't hear the alerts I get
from
my computer. Obviously, the focus is on River Forest, but I think Chris brings up a good point. There might be some things related to Oak Park that may wind up in this, so okay. We shouldn't just reject it.
No.
But there might maybe something related to Oak Park. Maybe if the seniors all want to get dope, they could go to Oak Park. They don't have to. River Forest doesn't have to open a store.
Okay. What I'm saying is that I do think there's going to be some, I almost want to say indirect similarities with our other villages. And so I would not automatically reject it. But I also don't want to start asking people, what do you like from Oak Park? Or what, it's almost like we need to focus in River Forest, and whatever comes out of it is fine. Because eventually whatever information we have, I think we're going to share with our neighboring villages if they're interested, and I think they are going to be interested. So, remind me too, for my list of to-dos, I'm going to invite the two gentlemen from the Austin Council to come next meeting. And I'll try to see if they can come to the next meeting to talk to us about the survey and what they did and their approach and how they did it and what issues they ran into for that matter. So. Okay. All right. How is that a good plan for next meeting? Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Sure. Anybody else have any comments or thoughts before we adjourn? No? Okay. All right then. If that's the case, again, thank you so much. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
motion to adjourn.
Okay, Ron and second. Okay, Lydia, second. Okay, can we have a roll call? Sarah, okay. Please.
Chris?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Dan?
Aye.
Debbie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Lydia?
Yes.
And
Ron? Yes. Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.